Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming, and good evening, Dave and Chris. And where's Barry? There's Barry. Yeah, Barry Abram.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time, so should we get straight in with the first question, if you don't mind? So this is it's from a councillor, and it's directed to Chris Ashley. So the question is, this is referring to Eddington Road. This land was brought to your attention by the agent Chris Scott, appropriate to him communicating with Vectors Housing Association, which goes back as far as 2012. Time has been spent with meetings with Vectors Housing Association and Nettleston and Seaview Parish Council. This was to see what would be suitable for the area, appropriate to regenerate the potential land. As you will appreciate, the land within this area was formerly owned over time from Ryde Borough, Medina Borough, and finally through to the Isle of Wight Council. The important part to remember is that this land is a significant area for the community, and therefore this should be a priority going forward. This site has been subject to continued consultation over 5 years, which has been stopping and starting, and therefore this has caused delays. You state the priority is regeneration. A scheme was seen to be suitable with Vectors Housing Association, ensuring that this would fit the infrastructure of the area, appropriate to coping with education, local medical and surgery needs, and employment issues. Officers have come and gone, and different decisions have been made. For example, you have on the Branston Farm site stated that it's good to see the council getting together with local businesses associations to benefit local needs in a partnership together. This then gives regeneration that fully benefits our island. And finally, so what are the cost implications in delaying this? So, Chris.
Thank you, Chair. That's quite a long question.
It is, I'm afraid, yes.
I think just to make the point, I actually took up my post in 2017, so this project obviously predates myself. But I think the points are well made in the question in terms of the time it's taken to get to this point. The effort that's been put into thinking around the best scheme that might be suitable by the parish council and other stakeholders have always been in mind and helped inform the approach going forward. I think the council is in a difficult position. It has to demonstrate to the council taxpayers of the island that it is achieving best consideration for the assets that the community own. And what we've attempted to do is to identify proposals for the site that provide that best consideration for the council taxpayers, but also will meet the needs of the local community. So can I suggest, Chair, that I know there's a long list of questions, and we've actually, at the council, we've actually answered every single one of them. And could I ask if I could send you the spreadsheet which summarises the answers to every question from the council
if I could ask then that you send it to our parish clerk and he can disseminate it and make sure everybody gets it. This isn't a parish council meeting, so therefore would anybody from this community like to offer a follow up question to that? Bear in mind, time is at the limit. Anybody like to ask Chris Ashman a follow-up question?
Yes, could I just quickly ask?
Okay, Joe, thank you.
I will be very quick. It seems quite strange to me, under your current core strategy, which I know you're changing, your spatial policy, SP1, we are designated as a wider rural area. This is a large greenfield actually. And this arose because a housing needs survey done within the local community came up with the fact that we needed a small development. It seems to go against your core strategy to say that the kind of development that we, within our core strategy, we expect to be in Ryde or in the Bay or somewhere like that, is suddenly plonked on us because you say you need the receipts. And I really, really think that you need to answer why you are allowing such a large development in a wider rural area.
I think the main point in response is that the planning process is yet to actually begin regarding this project, and that the interested parties that have submitted an interest in the site we'll still have to submit an acceptable planning proposal. So whilst the interest that's been sought has been for a development of up to 90 units, it may well be that the planning process identifies that a smaller number is appropriate on the site, and through design and the composition of the scheme, there will be an opportunity to input from the local community, the parish council. So
it was my understanding that you've already told Southern Housing that they are your preferred bidder and that you want them to go ahead. And they have come to you by saying that they would give you the maximum number of houses on the space. You haven't told us the sizes or the tenure, but you have told us that you are considering 90 houses. So how can the council consider 90 houses when they know their own planning laws, their own planning process might chuck that out?
Yeah. What we were required to do was set a benchmark, a level playing field, if you like, for all the potential bidders. And the guidance that was issued was up to a figure of 90, which is gives everyone then a comparative figure against which to bid. So that was the only criteria. The preferred bidder status is really the beginning of a negotiation. Part of the negotiation with that preferred bidder will involve their engagement with local community and with the parish council regarding the detail of the scheme. And they will then bring forward a proposition, and that will directly affect final receipt that the council obtains from the site.
Okay, so just to quickly finish, are you telling me that when you decided what you were putting out for bid, you, the council, decided to put the figure of 90 houses on it?
That's right, yeah, we issued the expression of interest.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe and Chris. Vice Chairman Dave.
Sorry, is that myself or your...
Sorry, Dave, no, other Dave. Dave Adams, Vice Chairman.
Hello all. Sorry, I got a little confused there. If from what Chris Hasman said, if you're going to supply all these answers to these pre-formatted questions to the council, are we still proceeding along the lines of what we arranged earlier, Barry?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes,
because not all of the parishioners will know the answers to that.
Right. So this one was question 7 on the list. This is, what is the basis of Southern Housing Group's tender, which you've probably just answered, but I'll reiterate anyway, that they'll guarantee planning permission for the 90 units, or the sums won't add up for them. So the planning permission will be purely an academic exercise. Well, I think, in all honesty, I think you've answered that one, Chris. So is there anything, again, anything from the public input on that would like to add, or should we just move on to question 8?
Barry,
Dave wants to say. Dave?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to check how much time. There's also pressure from your side on time.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what that is. Is that due to the Zoom element of it?
Yeah.
That's okay. Can you give me a couple of minutes just to give us some context to this whole thing? Because I think it might help some of the residents to understand. Okay. Eddington Road, I did a visit there. I think Reg Barry, you, I think...
Yeah, I was there with you.
Yeah, we had a look at this. That's what we did. And then we went on to... I think a local residency.
Yeah, we had a cup of coffee.
Yeah, we did indeed. At that time, I think we were talking about what was going to be expected. It was around about 50 properties of one from another, plus some light industrial, as I recall. And we were trying to understand what the parish council felt was important. And also, this meeting's good to understand the residents. Now, I know Reg has had as the ward council, had a briefing from our officer, Paul Taylor, who now deals with things. But if we can just go back in time, I think the 90 figure came from somebody who's now left the council. Renera, her name was. And obviously, I can tell you, I was concerned about the volume there. Now, you've got a member of your council, Mike Ward, who's probably on there somewhere, who was quite keen for this meeting this evening. And in the meanwhile, I've spoken with officers. I remember visiting the site with you. As a council members, so we differ our sense from Chris because he's an officer, we took the view that would be too many houses on that property, on that area. And we're also, as you know, since then, had the Branston Farm development, which is it's sort of set a model for us where we have affordable housing, and don't read into affordable housing bad social housing, because people sometimes misconstrue that. we had some industrial, and in that case it was a biosphere. And then we're looking at what we can do with the green space, and I think we've got an education centre there as well. Now, Eddington Road, I've heard talk about houses for people in extra care, again, the industrial side and the affordable housing. And Chris has rightly pointed out that actually nothing that I'm aware of has gone to or will go to planning at this stage. So this is about understanding the needs. Now, Barry, who's on the call, Barry Abraham, who leads for us on the planning stuff, and also that point the lady made about our a review of our whole planning strategy, means that we are, in my eyes, we're still open to understanding what the community want as part of our overall picture. And I think this meeting is a real opportunity, and I do thank Mike and yourself, Barry, for allowing this to happen, because it's one of the important things people need to understand. We want to work with the community. Well, certainly I want to work with the community, and I've always been like that. I think it's important to understand. We may not all agree, but we at least can understand. And I was listening to Joe. So what I want the message to go out from you is, certainly the administration that I lead are very keen to work with our parish councils, understand their worries and be flexible. But these sites have got to be viable. And obviously, at the end of the day, we want people on the Isle of Wight to have a home. So we have to build in certain places. Bob C, as you know, is very keen on not building on greenfield sites, and we'll shortly be coming forward with some quite significant initiatives for Newport and elsewhere. Again, which Chris has been leading on. He's been waiting ages to get a harbour order through Newport, and he's managed to achieve it. Well done to him. And I think what it's going to open up for us is some reflection on where we need development to go, and what we do or don't want here. Now, I've heard talk about allotments there. I think there's some flooding issues to be considered. And I don't want to undermine, Red's probably got a better sight than me on what that's needed there. And it's about getting the right thing for the community, but meeting our housing need. So please don't think, you know, you're signed and sealed to 90 houses. I certainly am not signed and sealed to 90 houses. And I know Barry's not. Barry, you might want to just come in and let the community hear from our perspective, and then I'll hand back to you, Barry.
Dave, thank you very much. Barry, would you just hold fire, because Reg just wants to say a couple of words.
Sorry, Reg.
Reg, please.
You're on mute, Reg. I hate those words.
You're on. We've all learned those words, haven't we?
We have.
You're on mute, Reg.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better.
I think...
If you wouldn't mind, Reg, quite briefly...
What I don't understand is, I think, I didn't want to speak about it because it was a parish council run thing, but I don't think Dave understands. There was a regeneration panel which Barry Abraham, Wayne Whittle and Stuart Atchison, the members, unanimously agreed to go with Southern Housing, because there was about six or seven people put in for it. But Southern Housing was the one with the most money for the site. And whether knew that or not, I don't know. There's no good telling people, oh, we're doing a nice job here and all the rest of it. You went for the highest number of properties on that. Whether it's 90, it ends up at 75, is neither here nor there. Best consideration doesn't mean the highest price. Best consideration, or the old-fashioned best value, can also mean what's best for the community and what's best for the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
You had what all the people thought was best, and to sit there and say you didn't really know that it's sold to Southern Housing because they got the most houses on the site is ridiculous.
Well,
I don't know, Reg, that it's gone. We're going to be here all night. We really need to get on with the question.
I've seen the paperwork, and I've had the briefing, which I shared with the parish council. I've seen the prices, and I know what the prices are.
Thank you, Ben. Can I quickly bring Barry Abraham in? Just a couple of minutes, Barry, please.
There was obviously a price put on it, but that wasn't the prime objective. The prime objective was to get the number of properties that will actually suit that site best. And certainly the one that from Vectis was a gross underutilisation of the site. And but it all comes back to the parish. You know, we will the council will still talk to the parish, to the community, to actually get certain things that you actually want as a parish. Certainly, I know, you know, I've had two or three emails from Mike about it, concerned of the number of housing. So I'm well aware of the sentiments in Seaview and Nettleston, what you actually feel. But it is about being able to make a good use of the site, but not overdevelop it.
Okay, thank you, Barry. The question I was going to ask next, actually, you've just about said it. So, Vice Chair, I'm going to jump to question 9. And essentially, it's putting your feet against the fire. What justification have you for building on this greenfield site and not find a brownfield site?
Is that to me or to...
Sorry, yes, who's the three of you? Which one?
We have... A desperate need on the island for housing for social need. We have a huge waiting list. You might be aware that Southern done a scheme at Shelfleet, which was a rural exception site, which is exactly what Branston Farm is, and that is what we are trying to achieve. Through the normal planning process, we're not getting affordable housing. The affordability that comes through planning isn't meeting the needs of island people who are struggling to get onto the housing ladder.
Okay. Dave, you want to go to your question? I think 10, wasn't it, mate?
Right, number 10.
Yeah.
Right, what is Island Road's view on the suitability of this site? Eddington Road's already a busy road. As a main bus route, the extra traffic generated by this development, the necessity for on-road parking, particularly outside West Priory Cottages and the play park, but also further down towards Nettlestone Green. This road will become even more hazardous than it already is.
Okay, so Chris will cut across me if I don't know this, but my taking on this is, first of all, it's not gone to planning yet. At a planning consideration, Island Road would need to give their opinion about the access, the suitability for the volume of property and vehicles that are likely to be considered, if you think of, say, let's say 60, 70 properties. I certainly don't see 90 being in our mindset. But we'll go with that approach. So that would be taken into account. And the thing that people need to understand, they have to be material planning considerations. So you, David, have just mentioned two or three, which I would consider to be material planning considerations. So when it goes into the formal planning process, those are the kind of important points that need to be raised, because they will influence what is eventually agreed, if indeed agreement is reached, by the planning committee. And this would definitely go to the planning committee, and that is not yet under process. So I think you made some good points there, David. And I think those kind of things are where the residents, through the parish council, can raise material planning considerations, and that may in itself reduce the number of properties that can be appropriately put there. I don't know if there's a flooding issue as well. I just seem to recall when I visited the site, Barry, with Reg as well, that there was something about flooding at one end of it. I may be wrong, but that was my...
I think that was at the old chip end.
Yeah, so again, you know, we don't want to be building on areas where they're going to flood, because that comes back to cause you problems. I think I just want to echo what Barry said, Barry Abraham. You know, we have people on this island. We had 3,000 people applied for 30 properties at the one he described. There are people that need a home. And I've never, ever looked at Nettleston and Seaview as a place that would not want to help people get houses, because that's not the style of community. But we do need to manage also that we don't, if you like, undermine that lovely community by putting too many houses there. And I fully accept that.
New tomorrow.
So I think there's real opportunity here for us to understand the genuine parish council and community views and take them into account. And I would encourage, through Barry, who's the chair, for those views to be put into the pot. This is by no means, I can tell you, this is by no means a done deal. Certainly not as far as I'm concerned. And we want to make sure we do the right thing for the right people.
Could I just come in again, please? You've mentioned something there, very, very important there, Dave, about Nettleston. No, we're not averse to helping people. And I think we've proved that by our old parish plan and getting back to what we stated at the start of the meeting with regards to the 40 units going in there.
Yeah.
Something I've raised at Eyewalk meeting, which wasn't too popular, but which comes up as a matter of course, because I'm new to this, but what doesn't seem right to me, with all these things and with these applications across the island, is there some sort of balance? If we need, say, for instance now, I'm just quoting figures now, say we need 2,000 homes for these people that are in need. Now, whether we call them affordable or they're for people in need, whatever, we need 2,000 homes. Now, I said to Eyewalk, I said, should these homes not be distributed evenly around the island? Should, like, I'm not saying like we should use Ryde as a dumping ground or Newport just because but should there be something taken into account with regards to the population and the size of these villages and towns, whereas regard every parish should take a percentage? Is that not a fairer route to go?
I think actually, David, you make a really good point, and Barry Abrahams has recently put out a questionnaire asking for what we call brownfield sites, because sometimes we don't always appreciate all the little locations we've got that build some decent property without, as you say, flooding one area. So I think that's a really good point you're making. And the other one is times change. So you'll see from us certainly quite a big drive towards what we can do to regenerate Newport. Now, I believe we could get a substantial amount of affordable houses on a brownfield site in Newport, which would bring Newport back alive with people and would reduce the pressure on our greenfield sites where we don't want to build unless we really need to do so. And this is where Bob Seeley and I work together. We have targets from the government, but even we've challenged those because the last one they had in the white paper was ridiculous. It was like 1,000 a year or something. We've never, ever built that. So we are working on this. And I think it's an evolving situation. The opportunity tonight is for the parish council and the other residents to ask us these questions and then get these points recorded and back to us so that the likes of Chris and the team can then have a considered view, which is what I say. It's not a done deal. This hasn't gone to planning. In my view, I remember the conversation with your chairman, and I thought that the figures around 50 seemed to be acceptable, but I also liked the fact there were some other ideas around industrial development there. And although this preferred bidder may exist, I'm not lined on that. The council aren't in tablets of stone on this. And what we want to do is the right thing for everybody.
Okay, thank you, Dave. I've got a hand up from Kate Dean. Would you like to ask a follow-up question, please, Kate?
Yeah, my hand's been up for a while, and it's relating a little bit to all of the questions, really.
Sorry, people keep moving around the screen. It's hard to see.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I used to live in affordable housing in Nettleston, in social housing, and actually it was meant to be for Nettleston and Seaview residents only. Kerry Fields has now got 60% of those houses occupied by people out of area. So I'd like to challenge the need for affordable housing in Nettleston and Seaview, because clearly the need isn't been taken up by the social housing we've already got. So that was just to make it really clear that there is social housing available, but people from out of area have been placed in it and not prioritised. Following on from that, we were told that we would have the opportunity to buy that housing when our circumstances changed, and that is off the table now. So you've already got 10 houses there that people want to buy as affordable housing or part share that you're not releasing for purchase, and there's people from out of area living in them when it was meant to be for local residents only. Just wanted to put that out there and have it minuted.
Kate, where is that the houses you've been told you can't buy?
Kerry Fields.
There's Eddington Road, Dave.
Yeah, but it's clearly a separate part of Eddington Road, is it?
Well, it's Eddington Road, and there's a play park on your left.
Right, okay. If you wouldn't mind sending an email in through Harry about that, I'd like to check that, because I don't think that's right in the sense that if you want to buy, particularly with what the government have just said today, there's a lot of encouragement to buy.
I've already bought a house somewhere else now.
And, yeah, I wasn't in you personally. I meant for the people that, you, as you said, you've come from an area where they can't buy him.
Hang on, Barry. Hang on, please. And Kate, would you mind? Mike Ward might be able to put a little bit of meat on those bones.
I mean, Cary Fields was set up by, the project was done by Spectrum Housing, and then it was transferred in with the conditions, and that's why it's now part of Vectors as managing it going forward. The concern with the parish, and that's why we want this meeting, is because the parish has learned from the faults of that, that it wasn't set up correctly right at the beginning to exactly what Kate was saying, for the needs of the parish. So the parish is an area that has supported social in the past, and we going forward, that's why I had 29 years on acknowledged directors of Housing Association. That's why I've tried to use my knowledge to highlight that the structure here needs to be correct for the village in its infrastructure. The parish wants to talk, and you say you're going to talk back, and that's what the parish needs, so that it fits the right infrastructure for education, schools and employment. And not all of it in one area, which we know you've got to achieve targets, because I do know from Shelfleet that I believe over every house that was, there was over 100 applicants for each one. So but it needs to be spread cost effectively, because we're the custodians for the next generation, and what we put there, we're going to be stuck with. And if it's wrong, and if you have a wrong mixture, and I've seen that on different sites before, if you have the wrong mixture, it's not a good social mixture in the future. And it's who serviced that. So there needs to be a lot of fair responsibility by all parties.
Thank you, Mike. Barry, did you want to come back there? You had your hand up a minute ago.
Philip, I'll
come to you in a minute, I promise you.
It was really to say basically what Mike has just said. You know, I do know the Cary Fields and how it happens. But I think, you know, that we have a problem that is island-wide, and it's not about bringing people in off of the mainland. It's not about that at all. And a lot of these people, when we talk about doctor surgeries, a lot of these people already use those doctor surgeries. They already have children that go to the local schools. They're not coming across from, you know, there's this myth that people are coming across from the mainland. There might be one or two that have had exceptional circumstances that have enabled it to happen, but it's certainly not the big factor that people think it is.
Okay, and Philip, you wanted to say something.
Yes. Okay. Well, thanks very much. this is turning out to be a bit of a tick box exercise. I mean, we like to think that we communicate with you guys and you actually listen. I mean, the Nettleston Residents Association sent in a 4-page letter to you guys. Excellent letter. You're saying you're responding. You're not responding at all. We haven't heard a word from you. And going back to Barry Abrahams, I mean, there was a letter we had claiming that were 567 affordable homes needed in Nettleston alone, never mind Seaview. I mean, we wondered about this, don't we? We wrote to you and asked you, through freedom of information, can you assist us? And we gave you a whole list of whether there were multiple applications for different parishes or whatever. We heard nothing back from you. So we're not getting any feedback from you. It's all coming one way, and as it always does. I don't think you're listening to communities. You might think the pressure's on your back, so you can't. But we live here. The people who live down Leadington Road, they don't want their environment to be trashed. And that's effectively what you're going to do. Once you've done it, it's done. I mean, you'll trash the whole of Nettleston, actually. So please, please, start to listen. And I know this falls on deaf ears. So, Barry, stop trying to stop me.
We have a huge problem that we have to solve. This is an Isle of Wight problem. My family have lived on the Isle of Wight. I've lived in Wootton all my life, and Wootton has had huge housing development over the last 40 or 50 years. So it's just the same as Seaview.
Okay. Right. We're going to have to move on to the next question. Was that you or me, Dave?
No, I'm
muted, I think, Dave. Sorry, Dave Adams.
Oh, sorry,
Barry, I believe that was you.
Okay, so it's me. That's question 11, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from a member of the public. Are geological, environmental and infrastructure reports available? How would the sewage system cope? Has the medical centre been consulted? I know this is covering other stuff. They have only recently taken on some patients from braiding surgery. What about Nettleston School and Ride Academy? Have they been consulted on their capacity to cope with the influx of children from this and the other proposed developments within the parish? I guess that's for you, Dave.
Yeah, well, let's bring that down a little bit. So all the first part of the question are all issues that would be covered in any planning application that goes in. So the environmental, in fact, the legal, there's a whole range of topics. If you look at any planning application, I'm sure the parish council have, they will all be addressed if and when a planning application is submitted in the format that it needs to. In terms of your, you mentioned doctors, I'm very familiar because I was born in Brading, but sadly that surgery was lost. I still haven't got my head around why. And I do know that the people that went there have had to go to different surgeries. So that is a quite a valid point. We have to look at the services. Schools is also important. Nettleston, as much as Brading and everywhere else. So we have to take that into account. So all of that process, all that information needs to go in as to be considered as part of any planning report. And there'll probably be a pre-application process that will look at it. So I think the location and the answers to those points will be in any planning application that comes in.
Okay, thank you. Anybody want to come back on that specific question briefly, please? Because we've got less than half an hour and a few questions to go. Okay, Dave. Big Dave.
All right.
I'm quite big as well.
Sorry, Dave, I didn't mean you were little, Dave. It's just that is what we call him right here.
All right.
I was going to skip question 12, Barry, because I think we've covered that with regards to the housing needs and the bits and pieces.
Yeah, that's fine.
Regards to scaled development. So I'll jump to question 14, which was, given the emphasis the council places upon involving local communities, why did you not consult the Nettlestone community and parish council prior to giving the tender to Southern Housing? Again, we've touched on this briefly at the start, but this is just concerns from residents in the village, so I thought it's fair to ask it again.
Yeah, fair to ask. Obviously, I've confirmed we did have an initial meeting with your chairman of parish council and a couple of others, and I came to the site myself, I remember. I think, Chris, I don't know if you were there as well, actually.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, we did a site visit because I'm not being funny. You know, if I said to you come out tonight and look at the latest saga on the military road, you'd probably say whereabouts. So I was of the same mind from Nettleston, and that was important to us. Also, I made sure that Reg has had the latest update as your ward councillor, for better or for worse. And I think Paul Thomas did do that for us. But consultation is an ongoing dialogue, as far as I'm concerned. And so, you know, certainly before this thing goes to planning, I would like to think that you've at least considered all the points you're making.
Okay, Joe would like to ask a follow-up question on that point. Joe?
Yes.
Would you like to ask a follow-up question on that point about what you messaged me earlier?
Okay, there is just one thing I'd like to ask you about, is I have queries about the choice of Southern Housing. Southern Housing seem to be about to merge with Sanctuary Housing, and that would make them the biggest housing association in the whole of South of England, with 130,000 houses on their books, and which is even bigger than Clarion. And if you go onto either of their sites, what come up are properties all over the South of England. And although you say that, how can you assure us that anything that is built on Eddington Road is in fact for Isle of Wight residents?
Okay, Chris may want to come in on that, but my understanding is you can put criteria on property that limits it to where and who can buy it, but that's I'm not an expert. I mean, Southern Housing have got properties out in my area of the island as well. I mean, they've been on the island quite a while, but I fully accept what you say, they're growing all the time. Chris, did you just want to cover that specific around how we designate property? Because I think it's an important point. We want island houses for island people.
That's right, the leader, and obviously the bidder will set out their proposals for their criteria that they will apply then, and that will be covered in the planning application as well.
But surely that should have been part of the bidding process. You should have been asking people to bid for properties that were going to be designated for island residents.
Can I just go back to what we started by saying, is that this is only set out, we've chosen a preferred bidder, but certainly we can write in anything, because the council owns the land and is selling it to or potentially selling it to a housing association, that we can tie in by it's easy to do it at that stage. We want it for island people. You know, we don't want it for people to move across from the mainland. We have our own housing list that shows that we have a significant need on the Isle of Wight.
So when you put it out for bid, you made certain that anybody who was bidding knew that they were going to build houses just for island people.
Well, perhaps...
And that would come...
I think perhaps Chris wants to come back on.
With the value of the land.
Yeah.
We missed the question, Joe, a bit, unfortunately.
I was saying, so when you went out to bid, did you make sure that all the bidders knew that one of the criteria was that that land was only for houses for local island residents?
What they had was the policy information that we had in relation to our housing strategy, which makes it clear that our focus is on delivering affordable housing for island residents.
And they knew that this land was in the wider rural area, and that you had policies related to that as well?
Correct, yeah. They will have been informed of the current core strategy and the planning policy documents. That would have all informed their decision to bid.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Thank you, Joe. Right. Thank you, Chris. We've got to move on because time is of the essence. Dave, big Dave.
It was just just what we talked about, this the consultation process. I mean, could we ensure that the parish council is consulted on this criteria about who the houses are going to?
Well, the short answer to that is yes. I can see Chris nodding yes. It sounds to me like a further meeting with the parish council off the back of all of this would be quite useful, I think.
Okay, thank you. Right, thank you very much for that, Dave and Dave.
I should just point out, of course, on March the 22nd, we move into the pre-election period. So the first thing is this won't go before planning before May the 6th. Because of that, there's no planning committee. Also, I'm not quite sure we have to follow our guidelines around engagement. It doesn't stop the council doing its business, but it does mean we have to avoid any political plus or minuses, which all councillors know anyway.
Okay, next question then, Dave.
Me again.
You again, mate.
Right, 15. No, I think we've covered that. Why have we concentrated 90 affordable houses? 16.
We've done that.
Same again.
Number 17, mate, wasn't it? No.
Yes, 17's a good one. This is from another area of the village. In the context of the multiple planning applications that have been or are to be made in relation to the Donkey Field and the Farmers Field at Seaview, Harcourt Sands, Puckpool, Flamingo Park and elsewhere, what is the council's overarching policy in relation to the amount of housing development it is prepared to allow along the island's coast, the northeast coast, and by how is that policy able to protect the character of this part of the island, which is so important to tourism?
Can I just come in and then ask Chris for specific? So you probably have picked up, and if you haven't, I'll remind people. We're about to really launch into what we're calling our coastal community strategy. We've got quite a substantial amount of money going into our coastal communities, on ranging from areas such as floodplains, protecting schools, etc. And we certainly have got a view that we absolutely need to reinvigorate, not just put Newport aside, put other areas aside, but we've got some fantastic island communities in the Bay, in Totland, in Yarmouth, in Bembridge, and we want to absolutely make that a top priority for us. Now, you attract tourists by offering a fantastic tourist offer, and so everything we do will be gearing towards that, because that's one of our main economic recovery priorities. And I was talking to people about it today, and we've got a councillor called Steve Hastings who's working on that specifically. So I can assure you that we will be very much considering that. Now, Seaview is one of our little gems. As people know, it's a lovely place to visit. But you can extend that through to the St. Helens, the Dover, through Bembridge. Getting, you know, it's all around us, and we must make sure that what we do does also enable us to boost our, what I call our coastal communities and all the businesses linked with it. That's our general strategy, if you like. If there's something specific in there, David, that I've missed, please tell me.
No, that seems very reasonable.
One of the things that concerns me, Dave, is that just a little potted history in 30 seconds. When I was a kid living in Portsmouth, one could leave Portsmouth up the old A27 and you could go left-handed, and the first place you'd come to would be Cosham, and then it would be Porchester, and then it would be Fareham. And yeah, there'd be lots and lots of green field in between all these villages, small towns, hamlets, whatever you like. And my concern here is all of this building is just coalescence. They were talking years ago about a thing called the Solent City. Now, if you leave Portsmouth north and you head... You don't know if you know if you're in Portsmouth or in Southampton, because it all looks the same.
Yeah, it does.
And that is one of my big fears for over here.
Yeah, so I think on that point, and I know it's Kevin, I'm not sure who Kevin is, but Kevin wants to ask a question in a minute. Yeah. You know, one of our ambitions is that we protect the good bits of the island in terms of its visual impact. And that doesn't mean it's not good to live in Brading or not good to live in Newport, and I choose my words carefully, but some people like town living. But a lot of people like rural living, and we'll put up with all the downsides of that. We're looking at the island as a whole. What do we want it to look like over the next, you know, 50 years? And I would totally agree with you, and I agree with Bob, that if we don't protect our AOMB, for example, or the unique features of the island, we could easily get swallowed. But we know that, so it's our duty to do that. I certainly don't. I've worked Portsmouth for a number of years, and no disrespect to Portsmouth. If there's anybody on there from Portsmouth, I apologise, but I live on the Isle of Wight. I don't want to live in Portsmouth.
No, neither do I. Okay, Dave, thanks for that. I'm gonna bring in one of our colleagues from St. Helens Parish Council.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much. Just to build on that, I think the question would be, because I think where we live in northeast Wight, there's so much development going on, Dave, that we're concerned that we're going to end up like Bournemouth Pool at a miniature level, where the urbanisation is going to take over and you're going to destroy the very environment that attracts tourists to come to the island in this unique place. So my question would be, because I know that Nettlestone and Seaview agree and so does Ryde, how do we engage with you on that very topic so that there is a strategy where making sure that we are building the right houses for the right people on the island
is
mutually aligned to ensuring environments like the Northeast Wight are protected and we're benefiting everybody. At the moment, it just seems like the developments that are going on are very significant and they're on such an ad hoc basis. There is no coherent strategy.
Okay, Dave, it looks like Barry wants to answer that.
Let Barry come in. He's been on this already.
Thank you for that one. We are, to a degree, tied down by central government on what they want us to deliver. As you will probably remember, we actually consulted on the draft local plan for the island, which was, I think, pretty universally slated. People didn't like what we were proposing. So what we've actually done is gone back to the drawing board to set out what we have on the island, what we're able to deliver. And we're able to deliver about 300 houses per year, not the 500-600 houses that the government want us to deliver. Yeah. What we want to be able to do is redraw. We'd hoped to have been, have advertised it by now, but because of the pandemic we haven't been able to, but to redraw up the local plan, and we will consult on it probably June, July. We had hoped to have done it sort of January, February. Unfortunately we weren't able to. That shows the number that we can do, and we've actually sought legal advice whether we're able to do that, and we actually can do it. We've got that from the various government bodies that we can actually do it. Very few councils have actually tried to do something that's different. We believe because the island is an island, we have special circumstances, and that is what we're pushing for to be able to deliver it. But I fully support what you say about the coalescence of the village. You know, it's say Wootton's got bigger. They're now built, you know, housing against my better judgment was actually given planning permission at Lushington. It was only a small development, and it's gradually looks like it's dragging it towards Newport. And if you drive, then you drive over, you get past sort of Rookley. Suddenly, you go out into what used to be the Isle of Wight. It used to be all like that. You used to have small rural communities, and sadly, it has changed. But I think we need to look and see what the developments that have been taking place, what they are delivering, and they're not delivering for the Isle of Wight. They're not delivering. It's homes that were being sold predominantly to people that want to retire to the island or want a different lifestyle. And they talk about 35% affordability in sites over sort of 9-10 houses. But that 35% affordability isn't affordable to the people that we have on the Isle of Wight that have been born and bred on. You know, the people that work in care homes and people like that and work in the shops who actually do a lot of those sorts of jobs. They're not highly paid jobs. They cannot get onto the housing ladder. You know, we have a 60% affordability gap on the Isle of Wight, which means that if 100% rent, on the average person on the Isle of Wight who rents property can only afford 60% of that rent. You know,
can I stop you there? We've got such a short time left, and we've got a few questions left. It's to you, Barry, so you might want to wet your whistle. And it said, the question is from a member of the public, and it said, can Councillor Abrahams clarify exactly what he means by the statement, a campaign to break down resistance to new housing developments? That has been quoted in Island Publications.
Yeah, it has. We have a problem with people, you know, don't want people, you know, there is a sort of black, people have a, I don't know what the correct word is, but they don't like sort of like social housing and that type of development being around them. They think there is this thing that we are bringing people in to live on the island, and it's not true. We need those social housing. That is what it's about. It's not about the sort of £600,000 housing. People they can look after themselves. The people at the bottom of the pile are struggling. They are really struggling. They are so a lot of sofa surfing, and a lot, you know, there are families, mother, children living three generations in a house, and we're not helping them. And that is my goal. That's what drives me as a councillor to help those people.
Okay, thank you, Barry. Has anybody specifically got a follow-up question to that item? Because we must move on.
Patricia's got her hand up.
Who's got that? Trish, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the quote was actually about housing development in general, and I think what has just been identified by Kevin is the fact that we're not just complaining about this particular development, the size of it. We're complaining about all the development that is being promoted in this particular area, and a lot of it is, you know, there isn't that much of it that is housing, social housing. And that actually begs the question that I wanted to ask before, which is, why is it that we've been told that there's this great need, and yet people like the Harcourt Sands developer are actually being allowed not to put any affordable houses on their site, and are actually instead giving money for it to go elsewhere? So you get a double whammy. You get the housing on the brownfield site at Harcourt Sands, and then you get the social housing put on a greenfield somewhere else. And I also picked up the point that Dave Stewart has just said about the fact that they're looking at this idea of actually bringing on board sites in Newport, which Bob Seeley was talking about in his before the election, But the trouble is that this goes ahead and all the others go ahead. We get this and then you still go with Newport. There should be surely some strategy to have a moratorium until you've actually sorted out exactly where you're going with all of this.
Where we have a particular problem is we have no control over private developments. We have no control over that. And brownfield sites, you know, I want to see brownfield sites. We don't want to hollow out the town centres. We need people living in the towns. But with that policy, we'll have to come government money to be actual to make it happen.
Thank you. Dave, do you want to ask your next question?
Yes, sir. This was a question, another question from a member of the public. This is to Dave Stewart. Could you explain why policy appears to have changed from asking developers to cater for a certain percentage of affordable homes within a new plan to a policy of building larger scale estates in selected areas comprising 100% affordable homes? Does this imply that former residency or local connections to the island no longer apply, and that overall figures of need are estimated as a percentage of the broader national figure?
Well, that's a very long question. I'll try and be as simple as I can and then ask Chris or Barry to come in if I get my answer out of the sink. So we're looking at affordable housing sites on those areas where the council can deliver, because we have a large demand, as was indicated, for people who need a home, and a lot of them can't afford some of the areas that you know we've been developing, and then people sort of put city prices on them. Branston Farm has been one of the lead areas for us because it's given us the opportunity to have a blueprint, if you like, for how we can deal with this going forward. Patricia mentioned Newport, and my view is if we can build 500 homes in Newport, that's going to be nearly 2 years of work that we don't need to then push in other areas where it's going to be less, if like, intrusive. So I think we've got to get the balance right. I don't think we'll have a need for affordable housing. My son is, I can tell you, earns a low wage and he's in a rented accommodation, and he would bite my right arm if there was something where he could get into his own affordable house. And there are many, many young island people in that place because we don't earn enough money over here for a lot of people. Now, I think we've got to find a balance. I would love to see more developed places where they can afford it. I also want to see us protect the island. I've lived in St. Helens. You know, I know the area, and it's some beautiful places down there. So we're not looking. Certainly, I won't preside over something that allows us to lose our fantastic green scenery. And we've got to work together on this. Back to your earlier comment, Barry, I would like any opportunity to engage with the public and particularly with the parish councils on their behalf. I think going forward, we must do that because you people know, as I know in Knighton and other people know in the West Wight, what is the need and the pressure. If I told you, I know of 207 housing development or property development that's been now proposed for the military road at Chail, you'd say, can't believe it. But I couldn't believe it, but I've seen it. And it's ridiculous. And we've got to do things because all these areas that we've got, as the lady said, I think it's Patricia, once they're gone, they're gone. You know, the Bembridge Down and all of that beauty is, we've got to protect it, but we've got to give houses to our people. So it has to be a team effort. If we don't get it right every time, absolutely prepared to revisit. And I can tell you now, whatever you may not think about Chris Ashman, he's a pretty considerate guy and he's doing his best for the island, and I've seen it several times now. He didn't ask me to say that, by the way. I've just said that.
Can you slip him the fiver later, Chris?
Yeah, no, I just...
Yeah, okay. Right, we've got about 5 minutes, so a quick question to you, Dave. Right, I'll be as brief as possible. There are 57 children on the waiting list for Ryde Academy and 29 for Sandane Bay. There are some children from Nettlestone who didn't get into Ryde or Sandane and have been allocated Newport schools. Where the children who live in these houses, where will they be educated? This is not taken into consideration the other significant overdevelopment in the area. where will these children go to school? I'm going to stop it there because it's pretty well the same.
Yeah, no, I've got the question. Paul Brading, who's done an excellent job for us on schools across the island, and he's one leading on the West White School, for example, has just been discussing with me today the allocation of places because they've already come out now for first, second and third choices. And we're over 75% or thereabouts, people getting the schools they want in the place they want. But not everybody does, so they have to go in different locations. What I would say to the people that you've mentioned that appear to not be getting where they want to go is to speak to Paul, actually. And I know they all should go through the system. I was told off today for not following the council system. But I like to know if people can get, because I've had kids go through the school system. And, you know, Christ the King School was seen as one of the best on the Isle of Wight a couple of years ago. It's changed at the moment, but it can get back there. Our overall aim is it doesn't really matter where your child goes on the Isle of Wight, they should get good education, and that's what we want. So that is our ambition. Paul Brading is happy to speak to somebody on a one-to-one level. He's done it several times. And if there are clinks in the system, let's correct it.
Okay. Can I just say this was my question, Barry, and you haven't actually answered it, Dave, because I'm not asking about the children now. I'm asking about the children of the over 1,600 houses that are being probably developed in our area. So we've got children in our area now not getting places. That's not considering the 1,600 potential houses that you're going to be building in my northeast area. Where will they go to school, Dave?
Right, that's the site. Is that the Penny Feathers or that one? Are we talking the West?
We're talking about all the developments around the Ryde area, which is totalling about 1,600 houses. Where will those children be going to school? Because why are we developing here and not spreading it across the island so that the schools aren't overwhelmed?
Yeah, well, the argument about not spreading it across the island will be because people want to protect certain areas. I'm not sure how much of that development of Ryde's actually going to go ahead. But if you drop me an email, Catherine, I will get you an answer to that question. Because I don't know the answer, I don't want to mislead you, but I will find out.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I mean, we've got about 2 minutes left. Mike, would you just like to say something briefly to wind us up?
Yeah, I mean, as David knows, I have been badgering him to communicate with us at the parish. And so, therefore, I thank you for accepting the invitation and bringing Chris Ashman, you know, your director of generation. I know he's a busy man, and Barry, so it is appreciated, and hopefully the parish has seen that, you know, you're going to continue to communicate with us going forward for this site, so thank you.
That's okay. I also thank Reg as the ward councillor for the work he does, and I thank you as members of the public. People know, you know, I'm an islander, I'll speak to people, I'll never get it right all the time. And St Helens isn't too bad, apart from the fact that a crappy football team, Kevin, just so that you know.
Just so everybody know, I'll be putting the audio of this up first thing in the morning, so if anyone wants to play it back and will have it as a ringtone on their phone, it will be available.
Thank you, Barry Elliott, as chairman. Can I just thank you? It's not an easy job. I've been there and I don't like it.
I can't keep up with you all. You keep moving. I am aware that some of my fellow councillors, I haven't been able to ask their questions, and I do apologise for that, but we've such limited time and some of them are very long. So thank you, everybody, for coming. And.